All right, everybody. Hey, let's go ahead and make the most of our time. Man, I really appreciate all of you choosing to join me with this breakout session. My name is Matt Keller, and I am the founding and lead pastor of Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. And my wife, Sarah, and I started our church 10 years ago, moved from Indiana and started Next Level with $9,200. And no clue what we were doing, and just it was a divine experiment. And we said, if God lets us live through this, we're going to spend the rest of our life making sure nobody has to feel the way we feel right now. And so the good news is he let us live through it. The bad news is there was a lot of pain involved, and we learned a lot, and we tried to take as good a notes as we possibly could. And so quick story, we did 4 years in a movie theater, grew our church to about 300 people, just to kind of give you perspective. Doing two services in a live functioning movie theater, and then after 4 years, exactly 200 Sundays in a movie theater, we moved to a brand new high school and a 900 seat auditorium 2 miles away, and spent the next 5.5 years in South Fort Myers High School, and just loved that. Grew the church, two services to just about 1,000 people on the weekend, and then 10 months ago, April of last year, 2 weeks before Easter, finally, after 460 portable Sundays, come on somebody, we finally moved into our first permanent location, and it has just been a crazy, crazy ride, to say the least. So to just give perspective, in the last year, we've added about 1,000 people to our church. And so we do two Saturday nights, two Sundays. There's a couple of chairs up here. There's one up front, one on this side as well. We'll just kind of have to cram in. Matter of fact, do you want to make room on the aisle? Everybody just kind of slide out. Here's the deal. The good news is the minute your row's full, you can slide in and close the aisle. I know that's a fire hazard, and I'm probably not allowed to say that, but I was sitting in that chair yesterday thinking to myself, man, I'd gill for 3 more inches. So, okay, so let's get after this. Here's the deal. We're talking about buzz. We're talking about building buzz in our communities, how to get our communities talking about all of the good things that God is doing in our churches. And I will be honest with you, I've studied this idea of buzz and marketing and social media for almost 10 years now. It was within the first year of our church plant that I began to realize that, like a good restaurant, you can have the best food in your city, but if nobody knows you're there, you're going to struggle. And I remember in those early days of our church plant thinking to myself and saying to our team and saying to my wife, man, I feel like, you know, our product, our weekend product, quote unquote, can be the best in the city, however you want to measure that. We can have it going on. God can be doing amazing things. But if nobody knows we're here, then we're always going to struggle at this. So for the last 9.5, almost 10 years, I've just it's been a passion of mine to study marketing, to study brand building, brand presence in our communities, to study once social media kind of web 2.0 stuff hit, to study all of that. And so one of the good things I think about the perspective that you're going to hear over the next few minutes in this session together is that I have studied marketing and branding from a church planner's point of view. In other words, we're not Budweiser. We don't have the ability to just put a big billboard on an outfield fence on a major league stadium somewhere and capture the attention of everybody in our city. We don't have that luxury. We're church planters. If there's going to be something written on my tombstone one day, it will say this. We're church planters. We don't take no for an answer. We figure it out. That's what we do. And so, listen, here's what I hope that you'll be able to grab a hold of over the next few minutes of this session. My hope is today that you'll be able to grab a hold of this idea of what buzz and marketing, creating brand presence, building buzz and energy in your community looks like on a shoestring budget. I'll be honest with you. I've taught these concepts to a lot of pastors, a lot of church planters across the country, and I'm telling you, I believe that what you'll learn and what you'll hear in the next few minutes, and I know this is true because I've taught them this, and we've used it ourselves at Next Level over the years in Fort Myers, is I think you'll be able to recoup the cost of this entire trip to Atlanta on the next big series you do in your church. I'm just telling you, I love this stuff, man. So, okay, I recognize this is like the post-lunch session, and you're all like, okay, that we're not doing that because there's too much at stake. So let's start here. What's the definition of buzz? All right, everybody wants buzz. Everybody, you know, it loves buzz. Jacket coming off like a good Pentecostal preacher. Bring it. Okay. Whoa, I don't even know if I believe in that anymore. Okay, here's the deal. Okay, what's the definition of buzz? Here's the definition of buzz. Very simply, it's this. People having a positive conversation about your product, brand, service, or business. In other words, your church. What is buzz? Buzz is people having a positive, and that's the important phrase right there, a positive conversation about your church, about your product, about your brand, about your service, about your business. That is how we define buzz. And the reason why it's so important to key in on that idea of a positive conversation is this, because there's a difference between noise and buzz. There's a difference between noise and buzz, okay? Every one of us know of car dealerships who are really, really good at noise, aren't they? They're really, really good at saying, you know, raw and shouting at you until you want to mute the TV or throw your remote through it, right? That's noise. For example, a couple years ago, a new car dealer guy moved into our town, bought a bunch of acreage, built the largest Kia dealership in all of Southwest, whatever, you know, whatever. And his whole deal was, here's this big guy, and his whole thing was the word huge. He's in Buffalo. Yeah. He came from Syracuse North, I think, or something like that. Yeah. Billy Fusillo or something. Yeah, that's the guy. Huge. It's huge, Southwest Florida. Huge. Okay, and there's this poor little blonde girl. You know, she's just trying to be nice. And so, but you kind of get the good cop, bad cop thing going. And so he's shouting at you, and she's standing there taking it, you know. So, and here's the thing. People know who that guy is, but that's not buzz. People are talking about that guy, but that's not buzz. You know why? Because nobody likes him. That's not positive conversations, okay? And it's possible for us to interrupt our communities. It's possible for us to make noise in our communities and capture the attention of our communities. But I want us to really differentiate here, and I'm going to key in on a phrase here in just a second. That's not buzz. Now, about 6 months ago, this Fusillo Kia dealer guy in our town, whatever, started changing his whole tone. And all of a sudden, instead of yelling at us, it's huge, Southwest Florida, yeah, okay, all of that. Instead, he mellowed his tone. And all of a sudden, he starts talking to this little blonde Caroline girl, saying and telling the camera, if you can't get financing anywhere else, if you need help, whatever, come to us. We can help you. We have more contacts with more banks, whatever. And all of a sudden, and then at the end, he'd say, it's huge. But he wasn't like freaking out at you, screaming at you. Okay, watch. Here's what he did. He switched his message and his methodology from noise to buzz. And what's the biggest differentiator between noise and buzz? Adding value. Adding value. When he switched from screaming at us, we're the largest Kia dealership, huge, Southwest Florida, to saying, if we can help you, all of a sudden, do you catch what he did? He switched his tone. He switched his methodology from noise to buzz. And to build buzz, man, if you hear nothing else I say over the next few minutes in this session, I hope that you'll walk out thinking this way about your marketing dollars, about the way you brand your church in your community. Don't just make noise, build buzz. And the way we build buzz is by value adding. We have to think in everything we do, in our social media, in our presence online, on Facebook, in our websites, in commercials, radio spots, any way that you're getting the word out, creating opportunities for people to have positive conversations about your brand, about what God is doing in your church. It all comes back to value adding. So here's what I want to do. I want to kind of move through some of this stuff, talk really fast, because the human brain can listen faster than the mouth can actually talk. So I figure if I talk really fast, you're still getting it, and I can tell you more information in the same amount of time. So we're just going to keep moving on this deal. So here's the deal. I want to talk about four ways to build buzz in your community about what God is doing in your church that don't have to cost a lot of money. Come on, somebody. Four ways to build buzz around what God is doing in your church that don't have to cost a lot of money. Number one, I would say this. By and large, the number one way to build buzz in your church is what I would say is this. Re-engage previous customers. Re-engage previous customers. Seth Godin, who's by far the number one marketing mind on planet Earth, SethGodin.com is his blog. It's read by well over 500,000 people every single day. If you don't read Seth, you need to subscribe to his blog. He's one of the few blogs I actually subscribe to and read every day. Seth is one of the most profound, amazing, brilliant marketing thinkers on the planet. And Seth says, listen to this, it is 400 times easier to keep a customer than to reach a new one. Not four times. 400 times easier to keep an existing customer for our purposes, a tender, than it is to reach a new one. Watch this. If your church is in existence, if you're not pre-launch, you already have in your possession a list of people and families who want to come to your church. You already have in your possession. Honestly, they've just forgotten how much they like it. Here's the deal. In most of the churches like you and I pastor that we work in, that we're a part of, here's the deal. If we're truly reaching unchurched, de-churched, and lost people, we have to understand that they're not in the habit of going to church every week.
Come on.
Stuff to, all right, a little less amen from over here. That's okay. I like it. I like it. Bring it. It's yes, they're just, and so we've got to grab a hold of this. We got to grab a hold of the fact that the most likely people to attend your church and like it are the ones who have already attended your church and like it. So what are you doing to re-engage your previous customers? Listen, we miss a huge growth opportunity in our church when we overlook those who have already been to our church before. What's your methodology for capturing those? Certainly we've got connection cards or communicators or something in our bulletin where we're trying to capture those names, those addresses, those email addresses. Listen, that's not just random. That's important. Okay, the most likely people to attend your church and like it are the ones who have already been there and liked it. They just forget how much they like it. It's like when you go to the food court in the mall, and you walk through the food court, and there's always, what, two or three little girls standing outside of the Chinese food restaurants, right? And they're holding up little pieces of chicken on a toothpick, aren't they? And what are they saying? Try the chicken? Try the chicken? Try the chicken? Why? Because they know if you try the chicken, you're more likely to eat the chicken. So they're willing to say, free sample, free sample, free sample. Okay, well, who's already sampled your chicken? The most likely people to attend your church are the ones who've already attended it. So here's the deal. Listen, I'm telling you, this is so huge. You can grow your church by 10 to 20%. 10 to 20% on the next big outreach series you do simply by reconnecting, re-engaging with those people who have come to your church once or twice or three times in the last, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months, year, 18 months. Shoot them an email. How do you shoot them an email? How do you write them a personal note? Get your team together and get a whole big stack of note cards and just start, take the first 15 minutes of your team meeting and everybody write 5 cards. Hey, you don't even have to put their name. Hey, comma. Just want you to know we'd love to see you at our new series launching this weekend. Love, not love, don't say love, that's awkward. Nobody wants a church to love them, I guess. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Boom, the next level team. And then put an invite card to your new series that you're launching. How hard is that? Send them an email from you that says, hey, this is Pastor Matt. Just want you to know we're launching a new series called Socially Awkward this weekend. Just want you to come. Listen, I'm telling you, reminding people how much they like your church goes a long, long way. I'm a huge baseball fan. Some of you know me and you know that that's true. I mean, like, I love baseball a lot. And particularly, I'm a Tampa Bay Rays fan. And so here's the deal. I'm on the Rays email mailing list. And so every homestand of, which, by the way, Clearwater, if you got ticket options, what's up now? I'm your new best friend. Okay, remember me when you enter your paradise. I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying. That's the Lord right there. God just gave you a word. Okay, so here's the deal. Every homestand for the Tampa Bay Rays, I get an email in my inbox. And it says, hey, join us Tuesday to Thursday. The Blue Jays are in town, blah, blah, whatever. And 7 out of 8 of them, I delete. But 1 out of 8, I go, bobblehead night? I'm there, right? Listen, I signed up for it. I gave them my information. They're not apologizing. You know why? When I go to the ballpark, I take my wife and my boys, and there's this person in a bright green shirt, and they've got this photo thing on, and they walk up, they, hey, get together. They take my picture. They give me a little slip to go to their website. You know why? To remind me how much I liked it. Because I get home in my life doing the deal, and I forget how much I liked being at the stadium. Just tell me, remind me again how much I liked your church. Send me something with a 90-second video of you telling a funny story or your worship guy or a picture speaks 1,000 words. Doesn't cost a thing. It doesn't have to cost it. You'll grow your church by 10 to 20% on your next big series just by recapturing people whose attention you once had. Does that make sense? We cannot miss that. So here's how you play the game. Sit down with your team. When you get back, here's your homework. In the next week or 2 weeks, whatever, sit down with your team and come up with 25 creative ways to add value and remind people how much they like your church. Just sit down with your team and come up with 25 ways that we could invade people's space in a good way. Add value to them. Listen, when they send me a little code that says, hey, we've took your picture with your kids at the ballpark, they're adding value to me. You know why? Because I love my kids and I love the Rays and I love my kids at the Rays. I want to see that picture. Does that make sense? Come on. Engage this. That's how you start to build buzz and add value in terms of insiders. Recapturing previous customers is so huge. Personal notes, emailers, internal mailers that we mail out. Right now, we have over 4,000 people, families, on our mailing list in our church that have attended at least one time, Next Level Church, the church I pastor, in the last, 18 months, 12 months, whatever, since we moved into our facility. I don't know. And a few times a year, when we do 3 big series a year, a few times a year, we will invade their space. We'll mail them something or we'll email them or whatever. You know why? Because we just want to re-engage them. And we want them to know, because unchurched people don't think about going to church all the time. So number one, re-engage previous customers. How do we build buzz in our community? Number two, we've got to stop interrupting and start adding value. We've got to stop interrupting and start adding value. Okay, Matt, that's great. You're talking about people who have previously attended. Yeah, taste the chicken. I get it. Okay. But what about the outsiders? What do we do about those people that we want to engage on the outside? How do we get them talking about it? How do we engage them? Listen, here's the deal. Again, it really goes back to this whole idea of adding value. The most potent marketing that we can do for outsiders is not interruption. It's adding value. People have become numb to the noise of normal marketing. In other words, here's the deal. Question, when was the last time you went home, pulled in your drive from a long day of work, and got out of your car thinking to yourself, I can't wait to see what junk mail is in my mailbox? Nobody does that. Nobody's running to the mailbox going, oh, let me see if there's any junk mail. I hope one's plumbing mailed me something. Nobody's doing that. People have become just the opposite, numb, especially now with TV, with media, with social media, with our phones. People are bombarded by interruption messages. So what gets through the noise? What breaks through the noise of interruption marketing? Value-adding marketing. That's how we break through the noise. So how do we do that? Here's how we do that. We have to think tribes. We have to think tribes. See, we have a couple of choices in our marketing, which tribes is a Seth Godin concept. If you've not read the book called Tribes by Seth Godin, I highly recommend it. It's a small little book, about 130 pages. It'll take you all of 80 minutes to read. But man, when I read Tribes, I went, this is the best small group philosophy book I've ever read, written by a guy who's not even a believer. And it changed my worldview in terms of the way people think. Because see, we have two options. Either we can just kind of scatter our marketing message to the wind and just kind of throw it out there. Hey, we're a church. And just kind of interrupt people and throw it against the wall and see what sticks. Or we could begin to shift our thinking in terms of creating buzz opportunities in our community. And the way we do that is by thinking tribes. Here's the point. You're better off focusing on a couple of niches than you are scattering noise in 1,000 directions. You're better off focusing on a couple of niche tribes, groups of people who have something similar in common, than we are just scattering noise in every direction. Let me play that out a little further. Here's the question. Who are the most likely to attend of your church? When you think about the demographic of your church. And let's be honest, not who you want, who you are. Who are the most likely to attend groups of people? Geographically? Socioeconomically? In terms of station in their life? Where are they at? Okay, who are the most likely to attend for your church? Once you know who those tribes of people are, then the next question is, how do we begin to add value to them? And I'm going to illustrate this in a second. So I'm kind of going philosophical, then I'm going to go illustrative. How do we begin to add value to them where they're already living? That's the biggest question right there. Who is it? Who are these groups of people? 30-something families with kids. That's a tribe. Single moms is a tribe. Motorcycle riders are a tribe. College students are a tribe. Parents of little leaguers are a tribe. People who drink coffee every morning are a tribe. Does that make sense? Look, there, tribes are everywhere in our world, and particularly, specifically, in our city. So the question is, where are they already living their lives? And then our question is, how do we as a church add value to them there? So if we're going to spend time and energy and prayer and our efforts and resources and finance to market our church, to do outreach, to get the word out about what God's doing in our church, we can either scatter it broad or we can take the time to sit down as a team and say, who are we most likely to attend? To reach, who's most likely to attend our church, and where are they living their life, and how do we add value to them there? Now, here's the deal. This is not easy. What is easy is finding a 10,000-piece mailer and mailing it out to 10,000 homes. There's nothing wrong with that. It costs a good bit of money to do that, but watch this. Here's the thing. What if we could take the same amount of money, the same amount of time and effort and energy, and instead focus in on tribes? And here's why. Because effectiveness and potency in one tribe gives us credibility in many others. But so often we're so busy shouting to the community, we're huge, it's huge, it's huge, and we're just hoping something sticks against the wall. Instead, what if we took all of that energy and that effort and we focused in? What do I mean by this? Here's what I mean. I mentioned that 10 months ago in April of last year, we moved into our first permanent location. Now, we from the time we closed on the property, we broke ground. From the time we closed on the property December 1st, we broke ground, Okay, and we moved into April. 17 weeks. Here's the point. From the time we broke ground to the time we had our first service was 17 weeks. Now, the miraculous thing about that is we completely renovated 23,000 square feet of church space of this old church that we bought, every square inch of the property. It was miraculous. The downside of that is that's a whole lot of construction going on in 17 short weeks. Here's what we knew. We started looking around going, obviously on our grand opening, we want to invite the 880 homes around our Plantation Road, where our church is. And so here's the deal. We could have sent them a generic blank whatever saying, hey, guess what? Grand opening. But well, here's what we did. Instead, we sat down and we said, how do we add value to them? So we started looking on saying, at some point in the construction process, I would be willing to bet that we, our construction, inconvenienced many of those neighborhoods around our church. That at some point they got behind a cement truck and their car got a little dirty or some dust or some dirt, something. At some point, obviously these homes and these communities have looked on our church at some point and went, man, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of construction. Okay, so rather than just generically saying to them, hey, why don't you come? We said, how do we add value to them? So here's what we did. We got an envelope and inside on the outside of the envelope, we said we put free ice cream inside. So they open it up and they pull out a card on the inside of this envelope. And this goes out to all 880 homes right around our direct geographic area of our new building. And the card said, hey, we're Next Level Church. Forgive us for our construction mess that we've had over the last 4 months. we recognize that this has probably in some way inconvenienced you. As a token of our appreciation for putting up with our mess, here's a $3 Cold Stone Creamery card for you to take your kids, your family, to ice cream on us. Just a small way of us saying, forgive our dust. By the way, Easter services happening, such and such. Here's the deal. We went to Cold Stone, and they said, that's such a brilliant idea, we'll go halvesies with you. So you pay $1.50, we'll pay $1.50, and we'll only charge you for the coupons that are turned in. So we send out 880. If 40 get turned in, we get 880 worth of credit for $60 plus postage and so forth, right? Why? We added value. And they were open to hear our marketing come on Easter because we added value. Watch this. The ones who took us up on it and actually took their kids to ice cream, guess what they did when they sat down at the table? Guess who they thought was awesome? Next Level Church. Their kids went, Mom, Dad, why are we going to ice cream? I don't know. Some, that church over there, with the whatever, they just sent us the coupon and we're going to go have some free ice cream. Positive conversation. Positive conversation. Does that make sense? That's right. Does that make sense? So look, what I'm saying is with just a hint more intentionality on our part, we can go from making noise to building buzz. We had so many of our church people who live in those neighborhoods who walked up to us and said, man, our neighbors are freaking out. Not about our construction, not about our noise, not about four services with traffic going in and out, 2,000 people coming in and out every weekend. You know what they're freaking out about? We can't believe that a church would just mail us a coupon for free ice cream. That's the craziest, coolest thing we've ever heard. Buzz. What did it cost us? Way less than just an interrupting marketing. Does that make sense? They're a tribe of people. They are a tribe of people living within a geographic radius of us. So watch this. How do we add a step of intentionality to think? How do we add value? So now we're not just going to a random street corner, passing out water bottles on a hot day. Is there anything wrong with that? No. People need water. That's fine. And if you live in Phoenix, especially, you need water. But good heavens, it's hot there. It's really hot there. And I live in Florida, and I think it's hot there. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But watch. What if we added a dose of intentionality to truly add value? What do parents sitting in bleachers during the summer watching their little kids play soccer need? I don't know, but if you can figure out how to be the solution to that need, make their life just a little bit better in the bleachers Saturday after Saturday, you win. How do you become the official church of parents of kids playing youth soccer at such and such park? All it takes is just a little bit more intentionality to stop interrupting and making noise and start adding value. Does that make sense? Here's a tribe. Parents of kids in daycare. What are the 10 or 12 daycares closest to your facility, wherever you're meeting? If it's a portable facility, if it's a permanent facility, what are the 10 or 12 daycares within a 5-mile radius of where you have church? Okay, every parent of a daycare child or children, at some point in some way, I know because Sarah and I had this at times when our children were very small, has a twinge of guilt that they're not doing enough for their kids. How do you become the church who calls up that daycare center and says, at Next Level Church, or whatever the name of your church is, we love, whoa, sorry about that. That's just, that is the definition of disgusting. Okay, here's the deal. How do you call up those daycare operators and say, at Next Level Church, we love families. We are for families, and we're all about trying to figure out creative ways to add value to families. Here's what we know. We know that you impact and you influence families. Would it be all right if we bought a bunch of, how many kids you have? Oh, 65 kids. What if we bought 65 popcorn boxes and put a microwave popcorn pack in there and then got a $3 Blockbuster's out of business, but whatever, Redbox coupon, however that would work, you figured out the details. I'm just giving you ideas. I just come up with these all the time, so here you go. There's a free one. Okay, put a movie rental card in there for $2, $3, a thing of microwave popcorn in a little red box, and then a little card in there that says, at Next Level Church, we love families. We know how hard it can be to be a parent these days. We care about you. Here's a family movie night on us. Have a great night. And send 65 of those home in a backpack. How much did that cost? $180? And what are those families going to do? They're going to open up Johnny's little backpack after a long day of work and a long day of school, and they're going to go, are you kidding? And they might not show up right away. But when they get laid off, when they get downsized, when their marriage comes on the rocks, you know who they're going to remember? Hey, who the heck was that church that sent us that popcorn thing and gave us a movie rental? Who was that again? I don't know, next something, next whatever. Boom! Not to mention that when they sit down on Friday night to have a movie night, they go, hey, kids, check this out. Some random church gave us a free family movie night. Add value! Does that make sense? It just requires a little bit of intentionality on our part. How do you, high school football is huge in Florida where we are. How do you go to your principal of your high school and say, hey, we want to help your custodians. We want to add value. We want to add value to our school system, to our kids, to our families. We believe in what you education in the next generation. How do you go to them and say, we want to be the trash picker-uppers every Friday night during the fall football season? And you get 20 or 25 of your volunteers. That doesn't cost anything. And they put on Next Level Church T-shirts that say on the back, go football team, whatever your thing, your mascot's called, okay? Right? And now, at the end of every game, right about the start of the fourth quarter, all of a sudden these 25 or 30 people in matching Next Level Church shirts emerge with gloves on, trash bags, and ready to go. And as soon as the game is over, they invade the stands while everybody's filing out, and they're picking up trash. How many positive conversations come out of something like that? Total cost? I don't know. How much is a box of trash bags? $4? We got to add value. This is not hard. You know why? Because now every parent in the stands is going, I don't know who they are, but man, next something. I don't level something. I don't know. How do we add value? How do we add value? How do we find those tribes and add value? So here's some filters in terms of thinking about your tribe. Here's a filter question. What is your target need? What do they want? What are those target niches, those target tribes need or want in their life? What are they dealing with? What are they worried about? The daycare thing simply hits an emotional felt need. What are they dealing with? What are they worried about? Here's one. What are they dealing with alone? What are they dealing with alone? So many people are walking alone in their life. What if we didn't just interrupt them? What if we figured out creative ways for our church to be the solution to a problem that they have? What makes them feel significant? Every mom and dad wants to be a good parent and put a little $6 Domino's card in the box. Now you gave them a free pizza and movie night. Every parent's going to, man, I feel significant. I'm giving my family a movie night in front of the TV, on our couch, sitting on my lap. I feel significant as a dad doing that. Help me do that. That adds value to me. What problem, if we solved, would make their life better? When we become the answer to those questions, we add value and we become a topic of buzz in our community. It's not easy to build buzz, but it's always, always, always worth it. It's always worth it. So what do we do? Number one, we got to re-engage previous customers. Number two, stop interrupting and start thinking value adding. Number three, we have to leverage the power of social media. Leverage the power of social media. And some of you, you're like, this is why we came, bro. We want to hear all about it. Okay, here you go. In my opinion, social media is the best stinking idea on the planet. No, really. Unreal. Do you realize what Bible Times Christian leaders would have given to be able to tweet? Oh my goodness. Okay, so listen, which by the way, if you're sitting in here going, yeah, I don't get it. Okay, you can get it. It's not hard. I'm not being derogatory. I just mean serious. Come on. Come on. For the gospel's sake. Get it. Here's why. Because people are living their social lives in social media. This is where they're living their social lives. And we have the privilege of being there. You got to get this. Oh my goodness. I'm so passionate about this. Ah, you got to get this. When someone follows you on Twitter or accepts your friend request or invites you to be a friend on Facebook, watch this. They have given you permission to be in the social space of their life. For us to not be present there with a value-adding message is for us to miss an opportunity for the gospel's sake. If they didn't want you there, they'd unfollow you. And for some of you, we have. Okay? Listen, by virtue of the fact that they accepted your friend request, they've given you permission to add value to them there, not shout at them there. Add value to them there. You got to know a name. Hang on just one sec. Gary Vaynerchuk. You got to know the name Gary Vaynerchuk. Okay, he's crass and he swears a lot. Forgive me for that. But Duffer is brilliant in terms of social media. The book, he's written two books. One's called Crush It. The other is called The Thank You Economy. Get the Thank You Economy. Vaynerchuk. V-A-Y-N-E-R-C-H-U-K. V-A-Y-N-E-R-C-H-U-K. Gary Vaynerchuk. And Gary, if you're listening to this podcast, dude, hook it up. Call me. I want to interview you. Okay. So Gary Vaynerchuk, here's what he says. 70 years ago, watch this. This is so awesome. 70 years ago, our grandparents, our parents, had Twitter and Facebook. Every bit. You know what they did? Yeah. The thank you economy. The thank you economy. Gary Vaynerchuk. Here's what they did. They sat on their front porch after dinner. And neighbors walked by. And they went, hey, what are you doing? Oh, we're just walking down to the Smith's house for dinner. It's going to be great. It's beautiful. Going to watch the sunset. Tweet. Hey, how's Jimmy and Johnny? Oh, Jimmy got 3 home runs. Check it. You know what? And little Johnny, he's become quite a chef. Let me show you a picture. You know what they were doing? Posting on Facebook. Come in. Let me show you the quilt that little Johnny's working on. Here's the quilt she's... What is that? That's Twitter and Facebook. 70 years ago, they did it on their porch. Today, we do it in the virtual world. It's the exact same thing. And you know what somebody did? Somebody would walk by and they or moms would be at a PTA meeting. And if you had a bad experience with Butcher Bob, one mom would say to another in a PTA meeting, I can't believe it. I was down at Butcher Bob's and he was totally rude to me and he blew me off and I just couldn't believe the customer service at Butcher Bob's. And you know what happened? 8 other moms would walk out of that PTA meeting and go, yeah, did you hear about little Mrs. So-and-so? She had a really bad experience with Butcher Bob and I just can't believe it. And everybody, and guess what happens to Butcher Bob's business? What were they doing? Tweeting. About customer service. Pound Butcher Bob. That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. So listen, I believe social media is the best and greatest tool that we, in, for the gospel's sake, have ever been given. But watch this. Social media is not about invading. It's always about adding value. My goodness, I'm a broken record. I recognize that. Some of you don't even know what a record is. That's okay. Good news. Just search it on Google. Okay, here's the deal. It's not about invading. It's not about shouting at people in the social media world. It's about adding value to them. Listen, if we really believe in the power of our message, then how can we not be there? It's free, it's easy, and people can sneeze it. People can spread it, and I love that for free. Word of mouth is always, it has been, is, and always will be the best form of marketing on the planet. And here's the great thing about Twitter and Facebook. Because they've decided to follow you or because they've invited you and accepted your friend request, watch this. Because by virtue of the fact that they've invited you into that space, whatever you say there is A, word of mouth marketing to them, and B, brings all of your credibility with it. So you don't have to start from scratch in terms of credibility. If one person follows you, if one person reads or listens to what you say on Facebook, then it's all worth it. Somebody somewhere is in your tribe wanting to hear what you have to say. If they didn't want to hear you, they wouldn't like your page. They wouldn't accept your friend request. So how do we add value there? 4 things. I got 4 things and then 4 things under the 4 things. Ready? Okay, so this is number 3, 4 things under that. I'm an outline guy. There you go. Okay, some practicals for the whole social media thing. I hope you get this. Number 1, if all we do is advertise, then we're missing the whole point. Social media is not all marketing. It's not just advertising. The key to a healthy social media presence is that you give people a window into several aspects of your life. If all we're doing is marketing the next big thing, then they'll turn us off. It's just, you become noise. You become an interruption. You can't do that. You can't just, hey, make sure you're in church on Sunday. No. Listen, yeah, that's part of it. We have to give people a window. Social media is a window into all aspects of our life. So you need to be tweeting about your kids or posting about your kids, about your family, about your wife, about what you're doing, about frustration, about funny things you see. Listen, the funnier you are in social media space, the better you are. When you see, I believe funny things happen all the time. We just don't recognize them. So you got to do that. Listen, okay, the whole quoting Bible verses thing, can I just rant on that for a second? Listen, good news, I own a Bible. Several of them, to be exact. I even have it on my phone. It was free. Okay, here's the deal. Throwing a Bible verse has limited effect. Tell me why you put it up there. Tell me what it means to you. Instead of quoting me Proverbs 3:5, why not tell me, man, reflecting on Proverbs 3:5 today, it is rocking my face off. You should read it. What am I going to do? I'm going to read it. Why? Because it's personal. Because I care about you. So don't just post it up there. That's the equivalent of someone walking into this room because, listen, virtual space is like the real space. Walking into this room and going, Proverbs 3:5 in the New Living says, and then walking out. We wouldn't do that in any other zone of our life, and yet we're like, oh, I got to tweet that verse. Well, what does it mean? Who gives a rip? Now, yeah, somebody will read it, fine. And just like when someone walks in the door and goes, Proverbs 3:5, everybody, slam. Yeah, somebody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I like that verse. Okay, but you're not adding any value. Does that make sense? And by the way, the whole tweeting about your wife, listen. Okay, everybody knows your wife's the hottest thing since sliced. Okay, we get it. Like, right, okay, okay. And here's, please, don't tweet, my wife is like, getting ready to head out on date night. My wife is the hottest thing ever. I love my house, thinking hot my wife is. And then, please, God, please, don't post a picture with that. What are we supposed to do with that? Do you want me to thumbs up that? I don't even know. I'm so awkward. This is so awkward. I feel dirty. I feel like I need to wash my hands and wipe down my phone. You haven't added value to me. You've made me feel weird. Next time I see your wife, I'm like, dude, how was your date? Night. Right? Stop it. Number two, time releasing things is essential. This is big. Okay, there are several social media apps out there that give you the ability to time release things. I'm going to tell you why this is important from a ministry standpoint. Like, I use Hootsuite. Like crazy, I use Hootsuite. Some people use Buffer. I can't seem to get that app to open up on my iPhone 4S, but whatever. So I use Hootsuite. Here's what you can do. You type it in. Just go to Hootsuite.com. It's all free. It's on your iPhone, whatever non-iPhone you would have. I don't know why you would have that, but there you go. Okay, so here's it. That's a different session. Okay, here's it. I'm going fast. When you set things up to time release, it frees you up in your everyday life to tweet about normal stuff. Because if the only time you ever get on Twitter, you think, oh, I need to talk about this weekend's message, or I need to get people excited about coming to church, then you'll feel guilty doing that. Oh, be sure to don't miss part three of whatever. Da, da, da. And then you're like, oh, and by the way, there's this really funny old person because I live in Southwest Florida. Get out of the way, old people. Pound, old people, go home. Right? Okay. Now you're bombarding people. Does that make sense? But if you time release Thursday, Friday, Saturday is how I typically do it, you'll find, if you follow me, at Matthew Keller, you'll find that I start to ramp up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, leading up to our two Saturday night, two Sunday mornings. Okay, because now when I time release through Hootsuite or whatever you use, Buffer, here's what it does. Now, in real time, when I get on Twitter, I can actually talk about my kids. I can actually talk about, hey, I'm at Velocity, and had a great conversation with Jeff Surratt. I can actually talk about real things. Now you become a real person, not just a marketing person in the social world. Does that make sense? That's why this is so important. Number three, you have to find the delicate balance between annoying people and being consistent on their wall. This is important. You have to find a delicate balance between annoying people and being consistent on their wall. People who are on their Facebook or Twitter a lot will think that you're annoying, and they'll call you out on it. People say this to me all the time. Matt, you're on there all the time. Okay, the only people who know I'm on there all the time? Most people, and by that I mean not ministry people, are only on Twitter and Facebook about three times a day. They don't actually work like we work. And here's the deal. When they get on there, morning, noon, and night, we've got to make sure that our message is on the top of their wall. We have to make sure that, so timing things out, being present when they're present matters. And so not everybody who calls you annoying in the social media space, that it doesn't, don't necessarily believe them. Now, some people are annoying. Because when anybody you find and you think, dude, you're just annoying, here's what's happened. They've moved into interruption instead of adding value. When we add value in the social media space, we are not annoying people. We are adding value to them. And they welcome that message. Number four, tell them what it is and then tell them what you want to do with it. Listen, take advantage of it. They have invited you in to that space. Tell them what's going on. Tell them about it. Tell them what. Here's the greatest question. I got this from Michael Hyatt. If you don't follow Michael Hyatt on Twitter, you have to follow him at Michael Hyatt, just like the hotel, H-Y-A-T-T, at Michael Hyatt. Listen, here's Michael Hyatt says it this way. Because people are like, well, I don't know what I tweet. I'm not that interesting. Here's what Michael Hyatt says. Great question. What's capturing your attention right now? That's what you talk about.
Sitting in a workshop, listening to some duffer talk about my social media.
Boom. That's what you talk about. That is interesting to people. I have equated Twitter to being a newspaper and all of my friends are in the headlines. That's what it is. When I get on Twitter, it's like reading the newspaper and all of my friends are in the headlines. I love that. Of course, the extroverts love that. The introverts are like, well, who gives a rip? There you go. Okay, so three big ideas. Re-engage previous customers, right? Think of value adding in terms of outsiders, not just interruption. Three, leverage social media. We've talked about that. Number four, I want to leave a little bit of time for Q&A here at the end. Number four, give your people something to buzz about. How do you build buzz in your community? How do you get your city talking about what God's doing? Give your people something to talk about. This is why it's so important to get ahead on message prep and on series creation in terms of your churches. And we do talks in our training all about that. Anyway, I don't have time for that. But just to say this, listen, if you're working on it on Friday night, it's impossible for your people to buzz about it before Sunday. You got to know where you're going. For us as a church, we know 4 to 6 months in advance what series we're going to be working on, so that we can get on the creative front end of that. Listen, give your people internally something to buzz about. Constantly be telling them, guys, our next big series, we did it last weekend. We stood up, we were ending a money series called Shift, and then we were heading into our next 5 weeks leading us up to Palm Sunday and Easter. We're doing a series called Socially Awkward. We're talking about relationships. Well, we stood up, and man, during announcements, we just told our people, listen, Socially Awkward is good. We're buzzing that. It'll hit Facebook. You'll see me start tweeting about it on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Leading up, why? We're talking about marriage this first session, talking about our relationships. Give your people something to buzz about. Tell them what's going on and then ask them, come on, will you retweet this? Will you engage this? That's why it's so important for us to get ahead. But watch this. If all we do is talk about what's going on inside our church, eventually we'll just become noise again. As your church grows and matures, it is necessary to give your people, if you really want to build buzz in your community, to give your church people something to buzz about that's not just the next big series or man night or girls night out or parent family night or whatever the next big promotional thing is. Watch this. What is your church doing to add value to your community? If you watch Next Level Church on Facebook or you follow my Twitter, you'll notice that probably every 6 to 8 weeks, we have at least two of the four major TV networks in Southwest Florida who are doing stories on us or calling us or reporting on us or putting us on the news. And churches have looked on at that and they've said, man, that's an anomaly. How do you do that? Here's how we do that. We add value in our city. Here's what TV stations, radio stations, newspapers in your town will not report on. Grand opening. New series. They don't care. That doesn't add value to anybody. That's just a group of people who own property in your town who don't pay taxes and simply take. That's what a church is, by the way, to secular people, especially in government and the media. They think we just take. How do we add value? How do we give back? So for us, we've adopted two of the hardest hit inner city communities, government projects in our city. It's called our Be Orange campaign. BeOrange.me is our website for it. And we've adopted and we focused, again, not just scattering even our missions dollars and outreach dollars in our community to the wind. We focused and we said, okay, come on. Let's focus on these two. We can't solve every problem, but what if we could solve these two communities' problems? What if we could lift these two communities with the love of Jesus? And that focus, and then every time we do it, we let the media know. And yeah, there's value to press releases, but listen, over time, you've got to build a relationship with TV. Well, how do you do that? What's the phrase? Add value. Two times a year, your TV stations are freaking out stressed. February and November, it's called sweeps. Anybody in the television industry knows it. February and November, it's all about ratings in February and November. Sweeps. What if you called the executive producer of your four networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, and said, hey, we recognize that, you know, we're coming into sweeps week or sweeps month, and you know, as a church, man, we're always looking for ways to just be a blessing to people and add value to people. Would it be okay if every Friday morning throughout the 4 weeks of February, if we showed up in the morning and just served coffee and donuts to all of your reporters and video people? And we don't say anything. We don't even want any recognition. We just want to just show up and just get them started their day on a good day. Would that be okay if we just for 4 weeks just showed up and just added value and just, you know, showed up with coffee and donuts? Okay, well, who's not going to say, well, what time do they get there? Oh, 5 a.m. Great. We'll have six people there. We'll do it. Good. Whenever we just want to coffee and donuts. Now watch this. The next time you go to do something that's value adding in your city, like do a medical day in our communities downtown, and we call them, who gets to the top of the list on that press release? Next Level Church does. You know why? Because we're the, oh, you're those people who I reckon, you brought us donuts that 1 month, didn't he? Yeah, that was us. Boom, what can we do for you? Does that make sense? Come on. I'm telling you, you know how you build buzz? You add value. That's how you do it. Focused outreach is huge for us. Pick a tribe and focus. Who's your tribe? Who do you need to add value to? Maybe it's not a community like us or inner city community. What if it's the teachers in your school that you meet in? What if you find the 15 most neediest families in the elementary closest to wherever your church is? And go to that principal and say, hey, we want to make sure that this summer those families have groceries. And for 10 or 12 weeks through the summer, we're going to deliver groceries to the 15 most neediest families. Whoever you tell us, Mr. Principal, they are. We as a church are just going to adopt those families and take care of them. What if on teacher in-service day, how do you get there three times a year and say, we want to serve Denny's Big Breakfast to all of the teachers in this elementary school just because we just believe in education. We believe in children. We believe in teachers. They're underappreciated. And we just want to add value. What's that cost? $150? I don't know, $200? And what are they going to do? They're going to go, man, that church is awesome. Positive conversation. That's how you build buzz. Let's talk about it. Questions? Talk to me. You had something, man. Go ahead. Brock, right? Yeah.
Like we've got maybe 1,000 or so fans for our youth ministry Facebook page, but the combined reach of all those, when you check out the insights, is like 360,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of that page. And most
for free, by the way.
For free. But here's a question. Okay, Twitter, when it comes to leveraging influence as a pastor, mm-hmm. is it better to just automatically follow back everybody who follows you or for that follower list down? Like, there's a lot of different philosophies. There's people who, you know, they got 80,000 followers, they follow 150 people. Then you got guys got like Scott Williams who follows just about everybody that follows him. Like, what's the difference in the philosophies and what works better for leveraging influence?
Great question. For me, I'll just speak to mine. Philosophically, I don't want 1,000, 1,600, whatever I have now, followers in my feed. That's overwhelming to me and I don't care. So I use lists. So I've got church people lists. I've got church planters lists. So people in my church who start following me, I'll put them in that list. People who are, you know, church planters, I'll put them in that list. So now I can see them in categorized form. Leaders that I'm following, mentors of mine, so they would be their own list. And then I've got just a select few in my feed. The thing is, in order to have direct message, private conversations with someone, you both have to follow each other. So that's the one, you know that. But that's the one caveat with Twitter is that if I follow you but you don't follow me, then you can say something to me but I can't say something back to you. So you kind of have to play that game a little bit. So I keep my follower list. I try to. I'm over now. But I keep it to about 200 or less. That feels pretty manageable to me. And if you don't like Twitter, here's what you need to do. You need to find whatever you're interested in. I'm a writer, so I'm interested in writing, so I follow writers. Worship leaders, you need to follow worship leaders. Youth pastors, you need to follow 20 most popular youth pastors or people you want to talk to. Start following them. That's how you learn. I guarantee you, if you follow the right people, you'll be on Twitter all the time. That's the problem. People go, well, I don't care. Twitter, and I don't have anything to say. It's not about what you're trying to say. It's about being in a space. Other questions on this? We've got just about 4 or 5 minutes left here. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry?
Is your city racially diverse?
Yeah, relatively. Our church, the question is racially diverse. Our church matches the racial diversity of the 7 mile radius around us. And honestly, in the last 10 months, it has gotten much more racially diverse. Yes.
So you're intentional about it?
We are. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's important.
Yes. I'm sorry?
I said, I think that's very important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Great. Thanks. Yeah, go ahead.
Between Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. which one, because I'm like more Facebook, mm-hmm. and I just haven't been able to catch that groove about Twitter. Which one is better, or is, you know, both of them are.
I would say, here's stereotypic, generally speaking, for us, our church people are more on Facebook. My pastor friends and that tribe that I'm in are more on Twitter. Celebrities are on Twitter. People who need to have a more concise tribe use Twitter to do that. That's why, like on this, you're seeing everybody's got their at thing under every name on the screen. Well, because it's a little cumbersome to go facebook.com/, okay, that doesn't work. So what Twitter has done that I think is so brilliant is they've created their own language with at symbols and hashtags. Facebook kind of doesn't have that. And so I think that that's why Twitter is more, for leaders, I think Twitter's a little bit better in terms of the interaction of that.
So it's where you link
your... Yeah, so I link them. So my Twitter links to my Facebook. So anytime I post on Twitter, it instantly hits my Facebook. So I'm not as on Facebook as much as I am on Twitter. But yeah, and some of that you just kind of have to play around with. You know, I don't think it's right or wrong. I think it's just a different space. Yeah.
Ideas on expanding the number of people following you on Twitter.
Ideas on expanding the number of people following you on Twitter. Honestly, I don't worry about it. Honestly, it's how much value can you add? It really, for me, it always comes back to value add. How much value can we add in this space? Because if you're not adding value, then you're just noise. So I'm not worried about having 50 million followers. I'm not trying to beat Ashton Kutcher. I'm trying to add value to my tribe. And so if you feel like my voice at Matthew Keller adds value to you, then join my tribe. Does that make sense? Couple more questions. Great questions, you guys. I love this stuff. Somebody else? Yeah, go ahead, Blake.
When you said the Hootsuite, you're saying Twitter, like you'll Twitter throughout the day through whatever you're doing, and Hootsuite is updating something that you've already timed.
That's correct. So I will get on at the beginning of the week or whatever, pick a time, for about 15 minutes, and I can do it on my phone, I can do it on my iPad, I can do it on my laptop at Hootsuite.com. And I will program in 6 to 8, again, I'm not talking overwhelming, 6 to 8 tweets that are promotive, that will promote next weekend's series or promote whatever. So I will, like this morning, I got up at 6 a.m., I got on my laptop real fast, and I tweeted 3 times, same tweet, just copy-paste, same tweet, some of you who follow me saw me do this, and one released at 8:30, one released at 10:30, and one released at 11:50 because I knew you guys would be breaking for lunch, all with the #Velocity12 hashtag. And it simply said, hey, want to save you thousands of dollars, whatever it said, you know, in marketing, come to my room B7. I typed in 3 of those. It took me 3 minutes. It worked. There you go. Velocity12. So, boom, that hashtag created a tribe of people watching that. So I was simply present when you were going to be there, which was your lunch break. So I just thought that through, and I said, it breaks at 11:45. I'll hit it. By the time they get to the restaurant, they'll look it up. They'll be following Velocity 12, and they'll go, dang, I want to save $1,000. Boom, and here you are. Does that make sense? Okay, one final thing, because I want to honor the time. I'm all about... Go ahead. I'm sorry? Well, I'm going to... If there was a piano player, they'd be walking out right now. Ready? It is cheating. It is cheating. Except someone in my church will get on Facebook on Thursday afternoon and they will be reminded that we're launching Socially Awkward because they will have forgotten. And they'll go to work on Friday morning and they'll go, hey, man, I know you've been struggling in your marriage. Why don't you come with us? And he and his wife are going to show up on Saturday night at our 4:30 service and I'm going to talk about a socially awkward marriage. And at the end of it, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give them a counseling link on our website. And he and his wife are going to go to counseling, and their life's going to be changed. You know why? Because I programmed a Hootsuite. Does that make sense? A Again, we're not selling widgets, guys. We're reaching people. And anything we can do to add value, to make it easy for people to have a positive conversation about your church, at the end of the day, people's lives get changed. That's why I'm so passionate about it. I'm not doing this for fun. I go to the Rays games for fun. We do this because lost people matter to God. So I'm all about adding value. So 3 years ago, I wrote a book called The Up the Middle Church. And it is a collection of church planting stories and lessons that we learned. And so many church planters and their teams have taken their teams through this. Some of you in here have the book and you've been through it, taking your teams through it. I'm all about adding value. I'm all about sowing seed. And so I got some big needs and desires from God in my life. And so I want to sow this seed into all of you. So I have 40 copies of the book. So if you're with a spouse or something, go with one. If you've already got the book, take a pass on this one because I think we're going to be maxed out. So this is my gift to all of you. So you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. So yeah, that'd be good. I don't know how to execute that. So I'm adding, that's right, that's it. So, okay, so it is officially 2:17. If you want to hang out and come up close and talk about this for a few more minutes, I can do that. That'd be great. If you want me, the awkward question for an author, can I sign, will you sign the book? Yes, I will.